I'd like to thank our brother Ronnie for the words of welcome. It's good to be with you this morning and indeed today sharing fellowship with you again. Thank Morris for the invite. It's good to see you, good to be with you, and it's good to see friendly faces throughout the congregation, people we've come to know and love over many years now. Now we're turning this evening, or this morning rather, to Malachi chapter 3, the Book of Malachi, the third chapter, and we are reading the first six verses. Malachi, for the younger in the faith, is not hard to find. You find the book of Matthew, the first book of the New Testament, and then go back one and you're in Malachi. So we're in the penultimate chapter of the Old Testament, Malachi chapter 3, and we're just reading the first six verses together, please. Malachi chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. The Word of God says, "Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. The Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts." And that phrase, the Lord of hosts, if you take time to read the four chapters of the book of Malachi, you will find that that phrase occurs 25 times in those four little chapters. Verse 2. "But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like a fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi, and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, as in the days of old, and as in the former years. And I will come near to you to judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, and against the adulterers, and against false swearers, and against those that oppress the hireling and his wages, the widow, and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right, and fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts." And there's the little phrase again. "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." And amen, and God will bless the reading of his own inspired, infallible, inerrant, indestructible, incorruptible, and inexhaustible word of truth. The name Malachi simply means the Lord's messenger. And in verse 1, the Lord is going to send his messenger. And of course, this is looking forward to, firstly, the partial fulfillment in John the Baptist before the final fulfillment, which we see in chapter 4 and verse 5, in Elijah before the Lord's return. And of course, if you've seen me do a demonstration of the Passover, there's always an empty chair at the head of the table in case Elijah would come. But as we see the messenger of the covenant in verse 1, of course, that is the Lord himself. And of course, I can see the irony and the sarcasm there in the words that in whom ye delight. Of course, they did not delight in him at all and ultimately cried out for his crucifixion. But in verse 3, we have the purifying of the sons of Levi and the offerings of the millennium which will commemorate Calvary. But my text this morning is found at the start of verse 3. And what I'm after is simply the little words, "a refiner and purifier of silver." A refiner and purifier of silver. What I want to do is to look at that and see if I can bring a word of help and a word of encouragement and a word of comfort to a struggling saint this morning. Perhaps there's one in the meeting or watching online who is in a valley of some sort this morning, suffering and struggling. Maybe it's one who's found the last 18 months difficult, and all the lockdowns and shutdowns in business, and maybe it's someone who's had the shield and lockdown, and they found it difficult. And I want to try and help you this morning with this little phrase, "a refiner and purifier of silver." But what does that actually mean? What is a refiner and purifier of silver? And how does it apply to you and I this morning? Well, I want to start with a simple illustration on these words. Some ladies met for a Bible study a long time ago, and they met to study these verses, but they hadn't got a clue what this refiner and purifier of silver actually meant. So one undertook to find out what it meant, and she was asked to go and speak to a silversmith. Without revealing her purpose, the purpose of her visit, she asked about the process of refining silver, and after having it described to her, she asked two questions. The first question this lady asked was, "Sir, do you watch while the work of refining is taking place? Do you watch while the work of refining is taking place?" The answer came back, "Yes, madam. I must sit and watch the furnace constantly. For if the time in the flame or the temperature is too long or too high, then if it's exceeded in the slightest degree, the silver will be damaged. Too long in the fire, temperature too high, for even a moment, will damage the silver." And having seen the beauty of the type in Malachi, where the Lord is tenderly sitting as our refiner and our purifier, she then asks a second question, "Sir, how do you know when the process is finished? How do you know when the work is done? How do you know when the refinement is complete?" And he answered, "Madam, that is quite simple. When I can see my own image in the silver, the refining process is complete." And so this morning I want to look at this refining and purifying of silver and apply it to our lives, to apply it to a struggling, suffering saint this morning, and see if we can bring help in a tumult that is raging around you. You're in a valley of tribulation. The trials of life, the test you feel, seems to be about to overwhelm you as you're in a refiner's fire this morning. Let's see if we can try and bring some comfort. First thing I want to look at this morning is the refiner's purpose. The refiner's purpose. You see, the saints of God are often in a trial or a test. And sometimes when we're in the fiery furnace, we struggle to understand why. We struggle to understand what the Lord is doing in these lives of ours. And so often we're reduced to asking the question, why? Why me, Lord? What's going on? Yet the reality this morning is that God always has a reason for what he is doing through the burdens of believers, for the suffering of saints, the cares of Christians, our troubled times. Dear brother, dear sister, in the furnace this morning, in that refiner's fire, remember this, that he has a purpose, just like the silversmith. And quite often, just like the silversmith, it's to remove the impurities, to make me more like Christ, make me more Christ-like, to make me more beneficial to others, to make me more dependent upon him in times of future trials. So with all that in mind this morning, I want to look at his purpose and see what he is doing, and quite often to remove the impurities of the believer. I want to contrast the walk of a Christian, a godlike man, a Christ-like man, with that of a natural man, and see the difference and see what the impacts will be of a man who has likely been through the fiery furnace. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4, please. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, the fourth chapter, we're going to break in at verse 17. And we'll see two things, that when we come out of the refiner's fire, firstly, there will be a change in our walk, and then laterally a change in our talk. Ephesians 4, verse 17, please. And Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4 and the verse 17. And it says, "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk." So here's the walk of a natural man or a carnal man. It says, in the vanity of their mind. So there's a vanity of the mind of the natural man. Have the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God. So it's the vanity of the mind, the understanding darkened, and the alienation from the life of God. Through the ignorance that is in them, the ignorance of the natural man, the unseen of man. Because of the blindness of their heart. So there's ignorance and there's blindness. Who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness. Lasciviousness is simply means want and loose, sensual, that sort of behavior. To work all uncleanness with greediness. So put it all together. You have the vanity of the mind, the understanding darkened, alienated from the life of God, ignorance and the blindness of their heart, lasciviousness, uncleanness, and greediness. And the obvious question as we look at these things this morning is this. Do these things characterize this life? Are those the things that are evident in the life of Martin Thompson? Because the reality is, if those are the obvious things in my life, I'm going to face a refiner's fire to have them dealt with and removed. The walk of the natural man. But we're not left without the details of the Christ-like man and his walk. Look at verse 21 and verse 24. And it says in verse 21, if so be that ye have heard him, if we have heard the Lord, if ye have heard him and have been taught by him, hearing him and taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, verse 24, and that ye put on the new man, have we put on the new man, or is the old man still evident this morning, after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And here Paul sets out the characteristics of a Christ-like man. A man who has likely faced a refiner's fire. A man who has heard him. A man who has been taught by him. A man who has put on Christ. He is in righteousness. He's in holiness. I wonder this morning, brethren and sisters, does that characterize us? Which are we this morning? Or are we the man, the natural man, and still have his traits? This morning it's a challenge. And I have to confess this morning that it's when those tough times of testing, those times when he's sifted me, those times when he's had me in the refiner's fire, it's in those times when he's begun to remove the natural man and begun to make a start in making me that little bit more like him. And I have to say, after 40 years, I'm only a work in progress and there's still a long way to go. But child of God this morning, in the trial, your trial is for a purpose. And this morning, when it is over, there will be that evident change in your walk. Keep looking up this morning. He's working on you. And to work on you, you are the focus of his attention, and he's nearby this morning. But not only will the impact of a refiner's fire will not only impact on your walk, I've already said it will have an impact on your talk. And of course, the Christ-like mind will be characterized by the things that come out of his mouth. Look at his truthfulness in verse 25. He says, wherefore, put away lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Put away lying, white lies, and every other type of lie. Put it away. I wonder how my speech is this morning. Do people know that I speak the truth? Do people know that I will tell lies or I will embellish something? Do I say it the way it is? Put away all lying. Are my words wholly true and wholly dependable this morning? Truthfulness. Temperance. Look at verse 26 and verse 27. It says, be ye angry. And sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. That's sound advice. Let not the sun go down in your wrath. Sound advice for all married couples, let alone newlyweds. Sort it out before you switch the light out. Don't let your wrath turn to bitterness. Get it sorted. But there will be truthfulness, and there will be temperance, and you'll get things sorted. Truthfulness and temperance and timeliness. You look at verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. No corrupt communication, but that which is good to the use of edifying. The Christ-like man and his word will have that word in season, a word that is sprinkled in grace for the troubled saint. And this morning, do we have that timely word for a saint of God that's struggling? Can we get alongside them? Well, in these days you can't put an arm around them, but can we get alongside them? Can we open the book? And can we encourage them and help them? Is there that timeliness about our words this morning? Truthfulness, temperance, timeliness. What about tenderness? Look at verse 20 or 32 rather. Verse 32. Tenderness. And be ye kind one to another. Is there that kindness about the godly man? Are we godly people? Are we kind to each other? Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted. Have we got that tender heart? Have we got that compassion about us? Forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Have we got that tenderness about us? Sometimes, as believers, we will have the right words. Sometimes we will have the right motive, but we will deliver them all in the wrong tone and defeat what we're about to try to do. Sometimes it's not what we say, but how we say it that's important. But the Christ-like man will deliver his word in tenderness. Brother or sister in the fire this morning, God has a purpose in your refining. It's to make you more like him. And when you emerge from that refiner's fire, there will be a change in your talk and a change in your walk. The refiner's purpose. Secondly, I want you to see the refiner's patience. The refiner's patience. You see, it is wonderful the attention that the refiner will put into an individual. It is wonderful that refiner, as in the illustration, will work with that silver as long as it takes to get it perfect. He will work with it as long as it takes to be able to see his image in the silver. He will work with it. He'll persevere with it until he has that piece of silver just how he wants it. I think of Jeremiah and the potter. We all know the story well, but turn back with me to Jeremiah chapter 18, please. 18th chapter of Jeremiah. We'll probably not turn anywhere else this morning. We'll see how time goes. But Jeremiah chapter 18, and we all know the story, verse 2 down to verse 6. Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 2. And it says, "Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my word." So there's the words of instruction. He's going to be instructed. There's words of instruction to be heard down in this potter's house. Verse 3. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheel. So is there work involved? He's working with the clay on the wheel. Just like the silversmith is working with the silver in the fire, this man is working with the clay. The work involved, the word of instruction, the work involved. Verse 4. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. And there's the weakness of imperfection, the imperfection in the clay. And just this morning, you and I are clay, or we're silver, but there's imperfection, and God has to remove them. The word of instruction, the work involved, the weakness of imperfection. So he made it again. Another vessel has seemed good to the potter to make it, the wonderful iteration. You see, he doesn't throw it away. He doesn't toss it in a scrap heap. He does it again. And he does it the second time by removing the imperfection. Now, I thank God that he's the God of the second chance. If every time I failed, he'd throw him in the scrap heap, it'd have been thrown aside years ago. But no, he's the God who works and works and removes our imperfection. Verse 5. You've got the word of instruction, the work involved, the weakness of imperfection, the wonderful iteration. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand. What a place to be in the hand of the Lord this morning. Where else would you want to be? O house of Israel, the wonder that's inspirational. I think that it's absolutely inspirational and inspiring that the heavenly potter, the heavenly refiner, would take an interest in the light of me. And as I've already said this morning, it's in those times when he's taking time to work on me, to remove my impurities, to refine me. It is then and in those times I am the special focus of his attention. And therefore, those are the times that we ought to treasure. Yes, the fire and the troubles and the trials of life aren't nice. But it's then that this Lord is especially close. It's then that he's there and he's focused on me. And it's then that standing in the shadows, I'll find the Savior. Troubled saint this morning, whatever your tribulation, whatever your trial, remember this, that the Savior's there, and he knows, and he cares. His attention. Our absorbing. You see, we have to absorb God's lessons. Somebody in the meeting, and Lynn's in the front row, knows me a long, long time. And I have to confess that I am pretty stubborn by nature. If you ask me to do something, I'll go anywhere for you. And I'll do anything, and I'll give you the shirt on my back, not a problem. But tell me to do it, well, it's not going to happen. And the reality is this. There are times when the Lord has to be patient with me before the penny drops and I absorb the lesson. Excuse the personal illustration, but going back to my unsaved days, I love sport. Now, you're looking at me this morning in the shape of the ball, I accept that. But it wasn't always this shape. But the desire of my life was to play representative sport. But shortly after I got saved, I got the opportunity. But I had to let it pass because it meant playing on the Lord's day. I wouldn't do it, even as a babe in Christ. But shortly after that, the Lord told me, get out of that sport altogether. And reluctantly, I gave it up. I gave it up, but I didn't give it up willingly. About 5-6 months later, I went down to watch a game. Team got beat. Went into the change rooms to chat to the boys after the game. And you know how it works, the peer pressure. When are you coming back to play for us? Need you back. And I, being the stubborn idiot that I was, went back home and said something along the lines, Lord, you've seen I'm prepared to give it up for you. Now you've seen that, I'm going back, all right. What an idiot. Got my Bible down, and I don't believe in using the Bible as a lucky dip or anything of this nature. But that day I opened the Bible at Proverbs 1. I started to read down Proverbs 1, and I got to verse 10, and it says in Proverbs 1, verse 10, Son, if sinners entice thee, consent not. What a rap in the knuckles. And that day I got down on my knees, and I give my life to the Lord. But I had to absorb God's lesson. And that was about 1983 or thereabouts. And I've never been back to a game since. Friends, this evening, or this morning, absorb God's lessons. When we're in the fire, absorb them and apply them to our lives, lest we have to go back in again. His attention, our absorbing, our application. You see, it is not enough this morning for us to have a head knowledge. It's not enough to have it in here. We've got to apply it in our lives, or we will face the furnace again. Time and time again, the children of Israel turned away from the Lord. And every time they turned away, they had to face the consequences, whether it was defeat or exile or a loss of his presence or whatever it was. They turned away because they did not apply the lessons. Brother and sister, this morning at Cinefire, when we have been through that refiner's furnace and we come out the other side, make sure we apply the lessons to our life. Make sure we walk closer with Him and learn the lessons from the experience. The refiner's purpose, the refiner's patience. Won't you see the refiner's painstaking care? The refiner's painstaking care. His love. Brother or sister, this morning, in that trial, in that tribulation, in that testing, in that tumult, whatever it might be, whatever valley you are this morning, remember that He loves you. Remember that He cares for you. And remember that His refining is for our own good. It's for our perfecting to make us more like Him. I think of Jeremiah 31 and verse 3. Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving tenderness have I drawn thee. Child of God, He loves you this morning with an everlasting love. He loves you this morning and He cares for you. I think of that wonderful verse in 1 Peter 5 and verse 7, casting your care, all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. And 1 Peter tells us as His care and Jeremiah of His love. And of course, He is our good shepherd. In John 10, 11, it tells us, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth His life for the sheep. Through it all, remember the refiner's love for you. His love. But look at His limiting. This morning, as you're in that fire, you're in this valley, whatever it is, in the midst of life this morning, whatever is being thrown at you, the way may seem bleak, the way may seem dark, the way may seem difficult, it may seem to be impossible. You're struggling to cope this morning, and there seems to be no light at the end of the tunnel. Child of God, but not only does He love you, but He will never send you more than you're able to deal with. He'll never send you more than what you can bear. A good verse in 1 Corinthians 10 and 13 tells us, there hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. He will not cause you to suffer more than you're able. And as He refines you this morning, and you're in that fire, and you're in that furnace, remember that you will not have to deal with more than what you can bear. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 9, and He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest in me. He cares for you this morning. He loves you. He will not cause you to endure more than what you're able. Lean on Him. Rest on Him. Depend on His grace as He refines you this morning. The refiner's purpose. The refiner's patience. The refiner's painstaking care. Fourthly, the refiner's protection. The refiner's protection. From the lady's question to the refiner, we observed his great desire not to damage the silver in any way. How he would watch it, what's the temperature, and so on. And child of God, this morning, just as He will make sure that silver is not in the fire 1 second too long, or the heat is 1 degree too warm, the Lord will not be observing you and making sure it's not too much. He is protecting you even within that fire. This morning, He will make sure that the testing and your trial and so on is not 1 degree too hot or 1 second too long. I think of the words of the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 42 and verse 3. That great verse that we quote so often, a bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. A bruised reed shall he not break. Regarding that verse, Matthew Poole, the commentator, said this: Christ will not deal roughly nor vigorously with those that come to him, but will use all gentleness and kindness to them, bearing with their present infirmities, comforting and healing wounded consciences and the like. Can I read that again? Christ will not deal roughly nor vigorously with those that come to him, but will use all gentleness and kindness to them, bearing with their present infirmities, comforting and healing wounded consciences and the like. Child of God, this morning, no matter how deep, no matter how dark, no matter how dire, no matter how desperate your situation this morning is, he will protect you. Make sure no harm comes to you, because he cares for you. The refiner's purpose, the refiner's patience, the refiner's painstaking care, the refiner's protection, the refiner's perfecting. You see, the effort of the refiner, the effort that he puts into that silver, the painstaking care and effort that he puts in to purify that silver, and that is the only purpose he has, to purify his silver. In reality, this morning, the Lord invests his time and effort in me and in you. And his purpose in that refining fire is the sole purpose of refining this man and you. I think of Ephesians 4 and 12. We didn't read it when we were in Ephesians 4, but verse 12 of Ephesians 4 says this: For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. The perfecting of the saints. To knock out our selfishness. To knock away an abrasive nature. To knock away stubborn pig-headedness. Maybe for some it's to knock away a lack of tact and grace. And all the other human infirmities and frailties that we have are why he puts the effort into us, that he might perfect us and change us and make us more like him. The effort. The effect. The reality this morning is very simple. You see, I may not be all that I ought to be all of the time. But I thank God this morning that I'm not what I used to be all of the time. In 40 years, he has changed me. And while there's still a long way to go, and he will work on me until eventually he will take me home, when I will be changed for all eternity. I thank God for those times when he has put me in the refining fire. And that's a brave statement this morning, but I do thank God for what he has done. Because as I've already said, it was in those times he was closest. It was in those times he was most real. It was in those times that he changed me. It was in those times he has built my faith. And it was in those times he's changed me for the better. The effort, the effect of a refiner's fire. And finally, as I close this morning, the evidence. You see, the lady in the illustration learned that the refiner's purpose was to be able to see himself in the silver. I wonder, as people, as this congregation and others outside, look at this man. What do they see? What do they see? Do they see the same old Martin, the natural man and all his faults and frailties? Is that what they see? Or maybe there's just a wee glimmer of the Lord shining through? Or do they not see Martin at all? And do they just see the Lord? But surely that's where we all want to be this morning. Just like Christ. Just like the altogether lovely one. The one who surely this morning is precious to us who believe. So child of God and a refiner's fire, look to him this morning. He cares for you. He loves you. He'll protect you in it. But he has a purpose in it. And embrace the experience, because you have his attention and he's working on you. And he's close by, and you are the focus of his attention. Refiner's fire. I trust this morning that there'll be some help and comfort, while a challenge also to some needy saint this morning. And if we're not in the fire at the moment, that doesn't mean to say by the end of the week, if the Lord tarries, you won't be. Apply the lessons. May the Lord bless these simple thoughts to our hearts. Let's have a word of prayer, please. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee for a sense of the presence of God in the meeting this morning. Thank thee for the stillness. And pray now, Lord, for any needy saint that is in a fire this morning. We pray that they will know thy presence, they will know thy touch, they will know thy help, that thou will draw near to them. And Lord, they will embrace it. When they come out the other end, they'll know a change in their walk and a change in their talk. And Lord, that each of us will be that little bit more like Christ. We ask it in his name. Now we pray for those who must leave during the singing of the hymn. For those of us who wait to remember the Saviour in his own appointed way, we pray that our worship and our remembrance will be like a sweet-smelling savour, rising and acceptable in thy sight. So Lord, hear these things, and we ask it all in the Saviour's precious name. Amen. Amen. The hymn will come up on the screen, and after the introduction we'll rise to sing together, please. Thank you.